Welcome to Buckaroo TV, your resource for B2B marketing for manufacturing and related industries. You create unrivaled products and services. We tell your story. Now on to the show.
Good morning and welcome to Buckaroo TV. I have a very special guest with me today, Keith Hyatt, who is the managing partner of FMI Digital Studios. Good morning, Keith. Welcome.
Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
It's great to see you. I'm sure you're enjoying some of this beautiful weather.
Yeah, I've been waiting for it for sure.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I grew up in Cincinnati and basically I played golf and went to Auburn University to play golf and was majoring in marketing and advertising. And when I left Auburn, I started FMI, which was in 1997, basically as a website development company. But then soon evolved into building more digital assets that really live on the web. In transitioning in 2003 and 2004, really not building websites, but more building the content that lives on the websites, which are the renderings and animations and configurators and all that sort of stuff. And so that's been the last 20 years so since then.
So, I mean, why did you get into digital? I mean, what prompted you? Why was your... Did you have the foresight to see that's where the technology was going?
Well, I love to sell stuff. My uncle owned one of the largest sales management training firms in the world, and I was blessed to be able to work with him and learn, you know, how to sell products. And I just thought the internet, especially in the late 90s, was going to be the new, you know, what is called salesman. That's where people are going to go and do their commerce. And you know, I wasn't the only one that thought that. And so, you know, people had brochures and there were yellow page ads and there was everything else in the late 90s. But I really thought that the movement was going to be into e-commerce. And I really have a passion for helping companies sell their products or services. And so we looked at the best tools and things that were available to create a sales presentation that would live on the web. And that meant renderings and animations. So that drove me to there.
That's neat. I'm sure you remember as well as I do when people said, oh, the web's not going to be around. You don't need a website. And you're like,
right.
Now you have to. I mean, it's as common, you have, you know, it's like an electronic business card.
Sure, sure. And we try to, even today, we try to evaluate a company's digital maturity. And that doesn't just mean their fintech software or, you know, other things. It really looks at their digital assets that they have. And there's still a lot of companies that are really in the rears, and they're going to get leapfrogged by their competitors and are getting leapfrogged by the competitors. The ones that embrace digital, you know, at a faster pace are going to see more, you know, market cap basically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So when you said, you know, you call yourself the managing partner, I mean, you're the owner, right? You're it.
Sure. I have a partner.
Okay.
In Cincinnati, and my business partner is in New Jersey. Like I said, we're a small group. We have 15 employees that basically do renderings and animations, and I'm the forefront to sell it.
You're the face of the company.
Yes.
Good thing. So let's discuss FMI's capabilities.
Sure. So what we do basically is create product renderings and animations that you know, live on the web. And also can be put into print as well. And so what, let's take a step back. What a rendering is an image of your product that's created through a computer. It's a CGI, computer generated imagery. And that's done through CAD files, photography, any type of engineering models. And we take all that together, we put it in our software, and then we create a photorealistic version of your product. It looks like a photo, but it's a rendering.
Okay.
From there, once you have your renderings, you can do animations, which is just video, but it's not video. It's photorealistic animation. Maybe show how your product works, product claims, different things like that, and or configurators. But both animations and configurators require you to have renderings. You cannot do those with photography.
Okay. And that's just part of the technology. How have you seen that technology change since you've started?
Well, I think the biggest thing is it's become more photorealistic. You know, 15 years ago, you would see stuff and you'd be like, wow, that looks nice, but it's a rendering. And a lot of brands and manufacturers didn't want to go that route because they wanted their products to be real. They don't want a fake, what it's, you know, called fake representation of their product online. They wanted it to look real and be real. And I would understand that as a CEO. I don't want my product on there that is not the real thing. But today, there's no difference. And no one can tell the difference between a rendering or a photo. And photos are so touched up with Photoshop, they almost look fake, you know. So it has been a complete merge of the technology, but it's gotten to where we can create a better version of your product using renderings than you can with a photograph.
Interesting. And also, as we mentioned, you know, you have, you know, or just tell me about all the different places that you can use this.
Sure. So, you know, outside of people, we don't do people. So if you have people in your product, or, you know, that's kind of our limitation. Other than that, we've done airplanes for Bombardier. We've done medical devices for Medtronic. We've done Febreze products for Procter & Gamble. We've done, you know, concrete leveling machines for Somero. So you name it, we've done in about every industry. Initially, it was all architecture. You know, but then in 08, when the housing crash kind of went and no one was building or doing anything,
yeah,
you kind of pivoted to, you know, it's the same technology, it's the same talent to do it. It's just, it's, instead of doing a home, you know, with brick or siding or windows, or doing a bathroom with the glass and the metal and that sort of the countertops, we were doing, you know, airplanes or medical devices or, you know, consumer product goods. So that's kind of been the transition from going from architecture then to about any industry.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And actually a very natural transition. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me a little bit about your client base. Are they, you know, nationwide, global?
No, mostly in North America. We have some in Canada, but mostly in the United States. And that's the market that we go after. You know, in the rendering world, there's a big spectrum of quality. And I tell clients, you know, if you're looking for a rendering agency, look at their work. And if it looks like renderings, don't hire them. Let's just, you know, it's kind of like, what? What are you talking about? Well, you can go to India and China and get really cheap, you know, renderings that are maybe I call basic illustrations of your product done, but it's not going to win on the digital shelf. And it's just basically a low quality rendering. So what we've done is we focused in our market in North America, and our clients, like I said, they range everything from industrial heavy equipment to consumer product goods to a lot of building manufacturer stuff, you know, showing whether it's lighting or stone siding or baths or shower or anything that's in the building environment has been a big chunk of our business.
I know that, I think I remember seeing one sample that was of a cosmetic product, and yet it had air bubbles floating in it, and it was just perfect. And I thought, there's no way that you could ever get that with a photograph.
Yeah, we did that for L'Oreal's Advanced Cosmetic Division. It was one of their products. And basically these agencies that work with these brands, they use the words forced perspective. They want to have the product, you know, we want it to look just this way and just this light and just this reflection. And we call it a forced perspective, what they're trying to achieve. And with photography, it's almost impossible, or you're just going to be spinning your wheels in Photoshop forever to try to get there, and you're never really aren't going to get there. And so when we created that that product and bottle and packaging, you know, they wanted to have so many bubbles, so the size of the bubbles and reflection, you know, of the liquid inside and that sort of thing. And that allows them to get that, again, completely photorealistic product, but allows them to achieve that forced perspective that they want so they can win on the digital shelf.
Yeah. And so it looks absolutely perfect.
Sure.
And especially in the cosmetic industry, no blemishes are allowed.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Now, why don't we talk about, you know, some of the shared challenges that your clients have?
Yeah. I think what drives some people to renderings that maybe not know about it or have, you know, maybe just been reluctant to use the technology is, you know, it's not that we're eliminating photography, because we really need photos of the product. We need to know what it looks like. Even if you have engineering files, we have to have something to know what the product looks like in detail so that we can create the exact, you know, details in the rendering. So the challenge is to create an in-scene imagery that inspires. So let me give you an example. Let's say a lighting company, and they sell a beautiful chandelier. Well, that chandelier on a white space background in a photo booth is not really inspiring. And it's not going to inspire anybody online to go, oh my gosh, let me share that with my social media. And let me show my wife and or my husband, and maybe we'll want to buy this. This really looks great. It's on a white space background. So they would have to create a photo shoot that's on trend with today's trend, get their light installed, and then do a photo shoot. That's a heavy lift for one product, you know? And so that can go for about anything. Like I said, it could be lighting, or it could be a concrete leveling machine that instead of showing a white space, you show it in a beautiful warehouse where you just leveled all the concrete, you know? So it's the in-scene imagery that is the heavy lift for brands and manufacturers. So with renderings, once we have their product rendered, we can put it anywhere. Like Tiffin Motorhomes, we did their motorhomes, and then they gave us some beautiful imagery of some curvy roads and the mountains, and you know, and so we rendered the bus, the RV, into the scene. Looks completely photorealistic. It's inspiring. You see it, you're like, oh, I want to go on a road trip, you know. So basically, in scene imagery with where your product lives, that's the heavy lift, and that's where renderings can really shine.
And then we also talked about within the renderings, tell us more about all the different mediums. Once the renderings are created, you know, what's the life of my digital asset? Where can I use it?
Yeah, so renderings aren't just for e-commerce. A lot of them are in print. You know, obviously everybody in their mail gets tons of print catalogs. And so it is imagery that can be put to print as well as e-commerce. Some of the big benefits of doing renderings is a configurator. So if your product has 10 colors, 20 sizes, you know, 10 options, next thing you know, you've got 4,000 SKUs. Once we have it modeled and rendered, we can create easily the different variations. One of our clients is Green Tech Planters. They make really awesome planters for outdoors and indoors. But they have, you know, one size can be 20 colors and 20. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to shoot all that is just not feasible. So what we do is we create a model of the product, in their case, the planter, and they've got, you know, many, many SKUs of different planter sizes. And then once we have the model made, we can easily create all the different colors and textures so that online, the user can then see exactly what it's going to look like, their color, their texture, their size.
I know a lot of times color can be a finicky thing because everybody's monitor shows it differently. Sure. Everyone's set of eyes sees it differently, as well as when you print it, it can print different. How do you create consistency?
Yeah, one of the big things is people don't want to see something online and then get it and it look different. And that's very important. And, you know, a certain dark red might look one way, like you said, on your monitor, and look another way in print and look another way when it gets there. So what we do is we take the actual product itself and what it looks like to your eye, to a 50-millimeter, you know, camera lens, which is what your eye sees. And we try to replicate that in our software so that it's not necessarily off of a CMYK color, you know, hey, it's this number and that number, because lighting can change anything. Lighting can make, you know, silver look white, black, gray, you know, and an outdoor environment, you know, and there's a lot of things. So what we try to do is get it as close to what we call real world, is what it would look like when the customer is going to get it. Customer experience, you know, reviews, is if they get something that doesn't look like what they saw, it's not a good thing. So we try to take a little bit of the technology, a little bit of what, you know, the software says it should look like, and also what it looks like in real life, and do our best to create that photorealistic real version of it.
Okay. Merging all of those aspects. Correct. It's really sure. Interesting because you're right that I never thought about, you know, I mean, we know it visually when you say, oh, lighting, you know, up lighting, dark lighting, you know, daylight, mm-hmm. night, you know, we know that there's a difference, but just to sit down and I think mechanically think through that process and to have, you know, in your case, you have such an intimate knowledge of what, how things can be affected, that will obviously ultimately affect the end result.
Sure. Like, you know, one of our clients is Kohler, and we do a lot of bathrooms for them. And in a bathroom, you got to think about it. You have tile that has different reflections. You've got glass that has different reflections. And then you have the hardware that can be oil, rub, bronze, chrome, silver. You know, chrome can look 10 different ways depending on where you're standing, where you're looking, what kind of lighting you have on it. And so there is a creative element to getting the exact reflections, getting the look and feel that you're going to want, you know, to put online that represents your product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've seen some of your work, and just when you sit down and really analyze the shadows and the lighting, it's really an art form. I mean, when you understand how the technology is created and then you look at the end result, it is truly picturesque and really beautiful.
Well, thank you. We take a lot of pride in our work, and our clients, they said they always love getting emails from me because they get to see their products, you know, in the real world, what they would look like, you know, and so it's fun.
Would you like to talk about, you know, show us some examples, real world examples of what you've done, and talk to us about maybe challenges that you overcame?
Yeah, sure. I've put a few examples together of some different work we've done where we can kind of show kind of beginning to end and showing, you know, basically the process that goes into it. So this is for our client of ours, Visual Comfort. And this is a beautiful chandelier light that they have. And this is a photo that they've taken in their studio. And they also given us the engineering, you know, files for the light. So we took the light, and if you go ahead and go to the next image, and put it into a scene, kind of a contemporary scene that they described they would like. And so we rendered it into the scene. As you can see, it's just a lot better than being on white. What you're seeing here is a rendering of the light, not a photo of the light, it's an actual rendering. And then from there, we just created a little simple animation, a little clip that they can use, you know, when promoting this particular light. So if you go to the next, hit play. And again, this is, you can only do this with a rendering. And so we created the rendering and then did an animation, just showing all the details of the light and kind of showing it in the room and, you know, showing just the different finishes. And so you can see all the details. So this is for a company called Royal Building Product. So this is what they give to their salespeople, and they, you know, had in their catalog. And this is just a sample of the stone putting on a house and what it would look like. As you can see, yeah, it, you know, it does show you the stone, and it might fit, you know, to sell to a builder or an architect. Hey, this is the type of, you know, siding you want to put on the house. Mm-hmm. So as we took that and modeled it and created our own 3D model of the stone. So if you go back to maybe picture two or one, yeah, go over to one there, you'll see we put it into a kind of a mid-level, you know, entry home. Siding halfway up, again, just showing a clip. Mm-hmm. They also wanted us to show it into a modern home. So if you go ahead and go to the next image, there's the full of that house, taking the siding all the way up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So basically you're showing it as, you know, a feature aspect,
yeah,
as far as an accent aspect.
Yeah, so this was a really cool home. They wanted to do something like a Northwest, you know, modern home with the stone. So we did this house for them, and then we did a detail shot, and this is really up close, seeing the detail. And when you see this, now you're like, wow, you know, I can envision it, I can see it, and now, you know, I want to buy it versus the simple photo of it on a wall, you know.
Yeah, I think the thing that blew me away on this one was the fact that you've got the reflection of the trees and the outdoors against that window.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, that is just so breathtaking and perfect. I mean, it's just like, I mean, that level of detail is really one of the things that fascinates me about what you do, is the fact that you can get that realism.
Right. And as you also can see, you know, the lighting affects some of the color of the stone. You know, you have the lights under, you know, the porch, and, you know, obviously that lightens up stuff, and you have dark shadows above. And so there's things like that we talked about earlier that, you know, make your product photorealistic is what it's going to look like once applied in a real world environment.
Now, and, you know, I'm looking at this, and you've got all these shrubs. And in fact, some of them I just bought, actually, this round one in the front, it's a bowling ball called Mr. Bowling Ball. I mean, you've got the rhododendron. Where does that come from? Is that, are those all things that you create, or are you able to pull from libraries? How does that happen?
Yeah, so in the landscape world, we're able to pull from libraries. In the CAD world, there's a lot of what you call, you know, in the stock photography, you can buy stock photos. Mm-hmm. In our world, we can buy almost any plant that some 3D render model has made a very good representation of, and then we put it in our library. And since we've done so much architecture, we have hundreds and hundreds of plants and flowers and trees. And so if somebody says they want, you know, azaleas lined up, we pull the azaleas and put them in our environment and render them out.
Okay, that's good to know, because I think a lot of times people might think, wow, this is really going to cost a fortune because of, you know, creating the in-scene aspect. But knowing that, just like photography, you can purchase bits and pieces and assemble it. Obviously, it saves time, and you know, we're always kind of like the same mindset. You know, why reinvent the wheel twice?
Correct. Yes, correct. So if you want to go over to another folder, we can do the concrete machine. So their big challenge is, so they sell a lot of equipment that does work with concrete. So like this machine here levels concrete in a huge like warehouse like Amazon or whatever.
Okay.
When they manufacture, they can get a picture of it, you know, sitting in the, you know, on the manufacturer's floor on white, you know, background. And that's okay. And that's a fine image. But, you know, especially in their world, in the construction kind of NASCAR marketing world, you know, the Ford heavy duty truck, you know, type marketing, you know, they were looking for something to really like put a pop on their brand. So we get the air engineering file. So we created, this is a grayscale model. This is usually the first step of creating a rendering. And we modeled everything based on the engineering files, and their engineers reviewed it to make sure everything's correct. Because again, we're not experts in concrete leveling machines. So we ensure that they sign off on that. So once we have the model made, we bring it into a photorealism world. And they gave us the artwork for the stickers, as you see the S22EZ and all the different fonts. Meters and leveling. And so we put all that and applied everything and created a photorealistic version of it. So now, once we have this, we then had a discussion with them about creating it in a huge warehouse that maybe just got done leveling all the concrete, because they can't go at a job site and shoot a picture of it, because one, it's all dirty. And, you know, you got a lot of, you know, projects where it's not really looked good upon to be out there with photographs shooting while they're doing construction and that sort of thing. So we created a warehouse, and there it is, big, beautiful warehouse, concrete floor completely leveled. And when we talked about that forced perspective, we kind of lowered the camera angle, and, you know, here it is, this great concrete leveling machine. And so that's, you know, that's on the cover of their, you know, their brochure and what they use on their presentations when they're selling equipment and to their dealer network, and they've had a lot of success with that.
Okay. And then again, is this the warehouse, is that something that you've created, or you're able to pull from a library?
No, we created that.
Okay. All right. Now, was this created from an actual warehouse that they did?
They gave us some examples of some warehouses where they've, you know, some big warehouses, what they look like and stuff. And so we kind of replicated some of those concrete beams and some of the rafter structure and the lights that you see up there. Those were taken from warehouses that they gave us examples of. So they gave us kind of examples to go off of. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Cause I love the light shining down from above and everything. And then, you know, it makes it look like someplace that you'd want to go work and eat off the floor. So clean.
Right. Yep. So this is a photograph of, in downtown Cincinnati, and to the left there next to the guy in the mural is just a parking lot. Mm-hmm. The developer wanted to present to a couple of different, companies about putting their, you know, what it would look like to put their company there, or, you know, in their storefront. And so they were doing a presentation to Orange Theory Fitness about, hey, this would be a great location. It's, you know, walkable, livable town here. There's a lot of apartments nearby. And so they gave us the architectural drawings. And what we did is created a photo montage. So to the right is the actual building, and that's a photograph. Mm-hmm. To the left is the Orange Theory Fitness building with condos above it. And so this is what's called a photo montage, where you take part of a photo, you take the rendering, and you bring them in together. and you have to simulate the lighting and everything that was created when you shot the photograph, and it makes it look real. And for a presentation for a developer, an architect, you know, trying to convince somebody, hey, this would be a great location for your business, this is a powerful image. They get to see exactly what it would look like. And, you know, it leads to, you know, getting the sale versus not.
Yeah, exactly. Because as you said, and also it lets them see the potential in context of, wow, okay, condos above, you know, urban living and all of that kind of thing.
Correct. All right. So if we want to go to the last one, which is for Kohler, this was a new product launch that they had. You know, they sell everything, pretty much the scones, the mirrors, the sinks, the toilet, the handlebars, the towel bar, you know, the paper towel bar. They sell a lot of products in here, the lighting up top and all that. And they found a wall tile they really liked. But the wall tile it's kind of a glass tile that has lots of reflections. So we created this bathroom with all their products and created the full scene. So again, just more of straight on shot, another perspective, and you can see the reflections on the tile that they're trying to capture again with all their products. But then what we did is we did the zoomed in views. So if you go ahead and go to the next image, this allows, you know, the viewer to see the details. And if you see here, this is their Calista brand, but if you see the lighting reflections in the tile, you're not capturing that with photography, and it'd be very difficult to do in a lot of Photoshop work. So right. We were get the exact reflections that they wanted to have it pop, but notice the reflections aren't too distractive to the faucet itself. But if also, you know, you look at the metal finish of the faucet, it has reflections in it. Some of it's white, dark gray, silverish. So there's a lot of colors there, but again, creating an inspirational image that wants people, you know, that gets people to buy your product. And this, I think we did a really good job with this one here. And if you go to the next one, you can just see a couple more detailed shots. The towel bar, again, just seeing within the tile, a lot better than just seeing it on a white background. So again, showing detailed shots. So creating a full scene of your products and then going in and showing detailed shots up close is kind of been the way they've gone with the different bathroom scenes that we've created. For that, one of the things that we haven't really talked about yet that's a big thing is staying on trend. So if you shot the scene with photography and built the scene out, and shot with photography, what happens in 2 years when this is out and that no longer is on trend? You have to basically create a scene again. What we can do is we can change the wall tile. We can change, if let's say oil rub bronze is now in versus this chrome, and you know, we can change the metal finishes. If the white cabinetry is out and it's now another color, you know, we can change that. And it'd be a fraction of the cost of what it was to initially create the whole scene. So now there's a cost savings involved and allows you to easily stay on trend.
And obviously too, like we said, you know, you've got the multiple colors of the pots and whatever. So if a cabinet manufacturer wanted to show the same thing, then they could obviously show the various cabinetry that's available.
Sure. Sure.
Okay. That looks great. I love it. Makes me want one just like it.
Me too.
Go ahead and talk about what you just said as far as seeing other examples of what you do and where to find those kinds of things.
Okay. So on our website, we have, which is fmidigitalstudios.com, you can go on there and our rendering gallery is broken down into industries from aerospace to medical to consumer product goods to architecture. So you can see the different examples of our work that are created in the rendering world.
Okay. Now, you know, one of the things that I had a question on is, you know, okay, so let's say I've got this pen or whatever, but I don't have a CAD drawing of it. Does that mean I can't bring it to you?
No, we can definitely model the product off of the product itself. It's just a little more work, which means it's a little more expensive to do. And basically what we have to do is we take the product, we shoot it with photography, we put measurements all around it, you know, so that when we're building the model in our CAD software, that we know we got the exact sizes and dimensions. So yes, we can definitely do it off of just the product itself. But if you have engineering files, it's going to save time and money.
Sure. Are there any other techniques that you use in that process for development?
Well, we We use software called Studio 3D Max. It's an AutoCAD program that we do a lot of our modeling and rendering in. But we also have a lot of custom software that we've built that help us make things photorealistic. We've had agencies come to us that have 3D renders on staff, and they're like, "We can't do this. How did you do that?" You know, and so we're glad to help them and you know do that. And it's just been 20 years of creating renderings and stuff. We've learned tricks of the trade, and the software is so big, even the people that have created the AutoCAD software don't know all of its capabilities. It's so
sure. Much.
And every day our guys learn and they stay on it. And, rendering, it's not something, basic rendering technology, you can, get classes and learn, but to really become what I call an artist where, where your work is, not only is it photoreal, it's inspiring. That just comes from being in the trade for a while and continually, sharpening your skills and making your craft, work on your craft better and better every day. And that's what it takes.
One thing that we haven't talked about is the ability for 360 viewing.
Sure. So a 360 view is actually a rendered product that is put into a software and we create 36 images and it makes it so that you can spin it. So when you see 360, it's 36 images that are rotated and then it creates a nice smooth rotation of the product. One of the things, the downside of that is you lose some really inspiring reflections and some of the details that you're going to get, because when you create an image from one perspective, you can add all these really cool angles, perspectives, shadows, and that sort of thing. Then when you put it into the software to create the 360 file, it still looks good. It just doesn't quite look as good as a, inspiring, one, really high res image that you're looking at. So it's applicable for some products, furniture and stuff, definitely makes sense. Sunglasses, we do it. I guess it makes sense. You can see the different details, but like siding that goes on a house, there's no reason to do anything 360 in that realm, So some products it lends itself to, but others it doesn't make sense.
Something that you said came to mind with the furniture. It seems like people that are selling furniture, whatever, I'm wondering if it's the same technology where I take a picture of my room and then suddenly I can place the furniture that I'm thinking to buy into that superficially so I can get an idea of what it might look like. Is that the same technology?
Yeah, there's a lot of the furniture companies where you have it where you can kind of place some furniture in some rooms and you kind of get an idea of what the room looks like. But it's kind of get an idea what it looks like. It's not inspiring imagery,
Right.
Like a lot of cabinet manufacturers, they have these little visualizers that allow you to kind of lay out your cabinet so you can see where your island would be and different things. And again, they're fine for an illustration purpose to kind of see how you would maybe lay out your kitchen, right? But to get somebody convinced to buy your brand, you have to inspire them online. You have to win on the digital shelf. And your image has to be awesome. I mean, it's got to be the best looking, cabinetry or countertops or whatever you're selling out there. Once you get them on the hook, okay, then you can have them go to these, configurators that are a little simpler that don't quite have as, inspiring imagery, but it's kind of as more of a simple layout to see kind of how your room could lay out and what you need to purchase and that sort of thing.
Okay. Now, how do you deal with manufacturers that say, have a core product, but then they have all these parts that can be attached or assembled or added? Is that kind of an application, something that's doable and worthwhile? And
yeah, I the first thing that I tell brands and manufacturers that have like a lot of options, right? You don't have to show every possible scenario. That, when you're selling something, you want to get them hooked on your brand, your product, and why they should buy from you. And you don't need to show them every possible scenario to do that. So the first step is, hey, and it could be too heavy of a lift, some of your 40,000 SKUs, right? So the first is, how do we inspire them? How do we get them to buy into your brand and buy into your product? And we do that through inspiring them. And so once we create that, then you could say, well, here's 10 really popular options. Okay, maybe we'll include those in rendering and do those out. but you don't need to do every one. Because again, once somebody is convinced to buy your brand, you know, the additional options and maybe little configuring, you know, little details that could be added on can just be, you know, shown as a simple photo or whatever, or just a simple rendering. Hey, this is an option you could put on it, but it doesn't necessarily have to be every option rendered out.
Okay. Okay. And in that instance, is that where, especially like for e-commerce, is that where there might be a good blend of rendering and then object photography to, you know, this is a component or a widget of?
Yeah, I mean, it would all depend. Again, if they have to go shoot it with a photo, it might be sent, if they're going to do that, you know, it might be worth rendering, but the rendering can be in a simple kind of white space too. It doesn't, because if they shoot a let's say it's a doorknob and the doorknob comes in 10 metal finishes, you know, we can just take the one doorknob and then apply all the finishes in the rendering world. We don't have to shoot, they don't have to shoot 10 different photos of the doorknob. So, again, it is a blend, Deborah, a little bit, you know, and that's what we do. We consult with our clients and say, look, what does it take to, you know, capture the audience, get them to buy into your brand? How much do we have to do to get them there? And then from there, what makes sense and what's cost effective to do to render out the other options and that sort of thing.
Sure. Sure. Now, do you have, you know, you've mentioned P&G and do you find that there are big box Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies that are only doing this?
Oh no, it's across the spectrum. There's, you know, like little mom and pop shops that have a cool product that they want to sell on Shopify. You know, that's a big chunk of our business as well. Cause you know, they have four or five products and, you know, a couple options. And so they want it to look its best. And then you have the big companies that the bigger companies usually are, we work through their agencies. So their agencies are tasked with, you know, getting good product imagery and they're like, oh gosh, how are we going to do this? And so we have a lot of agencies that we work with that will kind of provide those assets for them.
Okay. Well, this has absolutely been fascinating. I think I could talk to you for hours, and definitely I could just look at examples galore, because who knew that renderings could be sexy, but that's what you do.
Yeah,
you make them really, really beautiful and inspiring. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, Deborah, I thank you so much for inviting me on Buckaroo TV. It's been a joy to discuss this. And if any of the viewers are interested, they can, you know, reach out to me and we can discuss it more.
So speaking of which, what would be the best way to reach you?
Our website has a contact form at fmidigitalstudios.com. Also can reach me via email, which is keith@fmicommunications.com.
Okay. And phone number?
513-772-5432.
Okay, great. Thank you. Really appreciate your time today, Keith, and all the information. Special thanks to our viewers for joining us today on Buckaroo TV. Don't forget, if you have some windshield time, you can download the podcast and just take an audio version of this. And of course, share it with your colleagues and clients, and stay tuned for more interviews. And thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for viewing Buckaroo TV. If you'd like to learn more about B2B marketing for manufacturing and related industries, please visit us at gobuckaroo.com.